Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a fabulous, fabulous Friday. Well, 1 week from tonight in McKenzie Arena, I have been multiple times. It is always a lot of fun. The world-renowned Harlem Globetrotters will be performing. Again, that is next Friday night at McKenzie. If you miss next Friday night, they're going to be in Dalton on Thursday, January 23rd. So we're fortunate, very fortunate, to have the Globetrotters twice in our area in a six-day stretch. And joining us is a member of the Harlem Globetrotters, Hops Pierce, who has his claim to fame, among many things, his vertical jump can be measured in inches and feet. 4 feet, a 48-inch vertical jump. Hops, thank you so much for joining us. How are you today?
How you doing? Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And as soon as you walked in, I said, you are one of the youngest-looking Globetrotters, maybe the youngest-looking Globetrotter of all time.
Yeah, I'm 23. Last year, I was the youngest Globetrotter, but this year, I'm not a rookie anymore.
So. All right, well, and like we talked about, everybody's got a story. You were telling us you graduated from Purchase College in New York, graduated in 2018. I still want to say last year because it still feels like 19. But you graduated in 2018 in economics.
Yes.
So talk to me about how you go from being an economics major. And I know you played hoops in college, but how do you go from an economics major to joining up with the world-famous Globetrotters?
Okay, so in between my sophomore and junior year, I started to post some of my dunks to social media. And that's when a lot of people took notice of what I was doing. Fast forward to my senior year, I got nominated for what's called the Dark Horse Dunker Competition. And that is a competition, it's a digital competition, but it's in the form of like a March Madness tournament bracket type thing. And so each week for a month, you get matched up with a different dunker. And the winner of that digital competition gets the 8th spot in the college dunk contest, which was on ESPN. It was live on ESPN. And I was fortunate enough to win that digital contest. And it was because I was putting all of that content out prior to. So
that's how you got discovered, yeah.
I did really well in the college dunk contest. The Globetrotters were watching.
Yeah.
And that's how it happened.
Pretty cool.
All right, when you think about, like, obviously I'm older than you. I grew up, and even when I was a little tot, my dad had graduated from North Carolina State, and they had David Thompson, who was world-renowned for jumping up and grabbing money off the top of a backboard.
Yeah, yeah.
But then along came Dominique Wilkins, along came Michael Jordan. I know you've watched a lot of these old videos. When you were a kid growing up and coming up through, who did you kind of admire from a dunking standpoint?
Vince Carter and Nate Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
100%. Vince Carter was the first, and then shortly after, I caught on to who Nate was. And so from then on, it was. And it's funny because Nate Robinson was a judge in the dunk in the college dunk contest for me. So it was super, super cool to have that come full circle for him to judge such a crucial contest in my career.
Do you have a favorite, or have you had a favorite, whether it's the windmill, whether it's the 360? What kind of, because it seems like every time you watch dunking contests, they do get more and more elaborate.
Yeah. So I honestly don't have a favorite dunk to do, but I do like to pride myself on the fact that I am definitely one of the more creative dunkers.
Mm-hmm.
If you get a chance to take a look at the stuff that I've put out on social media, you'll see it's definitely things that you haven't seen before. I include other sports. I've had a video with a dog that's gotten over 100 million views, and it's a dunk video.
You dunked a dog?
I did not dunk a dog.
Okay. No.
That would be home.
All right. Yeah. So, well, tell us what happened with the dog. 100 million views is crazy.
Yeah. So, I did a little handshake with a German Shepherd, and then I backed up and I threw a pass at the dog. The dog threw an alley-oop back to me, and I caught it and I windmilled it, and then.
That's so he kind of like pecked it with his nose or something
yep.
to like knock the ball
he
head-butted up.
Yeah. It right back. And yeah. All right, perfect lob.
You know what's happened? We've met met Hops, and he actually he knows Air Bud. He is playing Air Bud. That's right. Air Bud.
Real life Air Bud.
Yeah, so there you go.
Hope you're getting some good ad
revenue.
This
is making terrible radio because David and I are now watching it on YouTube.
That's awesome.
I mean, but that is awesome. And the dog shakes your hand. That's outstanding.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what's funny about that and the Globetrotters is that, like, just as amazing as that video is, like, there's so many other otherworldly type dunks that you can see when you come see the Globetrotters.
Yeah.
And so, like, even if you've seen them prior to this year, just this year alone with our Pushing the Limits tour, we've got so many new things that we're bringing to the table besides those dunks. So we've got, like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Magic Circle and what that is, but the Magic Circle is basically a ball handling exhibition that's part of our warm-up routine. And what we do there is we get loose as well as show off some of our tricks to the fans. And so this year that's going to be done in the dark, in a glow-in-the-dark kind of aesthetic.
Okay.
So that's going to be really interesting to see. And then we've got Lucky and Dazzle, who are our two new rookies for the year. Lucky is our first ever player from China. Dazzle is our first ever player from Poland. Both world-class ball handlers doing things with the basketball that I've still never seen to this day.
I'll ask you a question that nobody else in you know, Wells, Jay, and I, we've never had to deal with this, but how many times have you accidentally hit your head on the backboard?
On the backboard? I'll say a dozen. I've only made contact with the rim once. But yeah. That's partially on purpose, just because it's a different feel. The rim is definitely a different feeling than the backboard. Yeah. Sometimes the backboard has a pad
right
under it.
All right, and we were talking when we came on just how much fun the Globetrotters are, because I mean it's for fans of all ages. There literally is no age that doesn't enjoy the Globetrotters. And we were talking about the video that came out recently about setting all these world records.
Yeah.
About whether it's a under the leg shot, like a shotgun snap in football. Mm-hmm. Bull Bullard has the not only that one, but the behind the back shot.
Yep, sure
that from just over half court that goes in. And you think about you know, kneeling and backwards shooting it over your head for 63 feet, and then Hammer Harrison has the underhanded shot for, you know, standing under one goal and making it in the other. Yeah. From 85 feet. Which of those, I mean, that takes some serious, serious strength.
Absolutely.
Which of those to you would be the toughest for you to perform? Like I said, we're talking world record.
The behind the back is definitely tough because it's hard to generate that kind of power mixed with that kind of accuracy on a behind the back shot. A behind the back pass, I mean, you still have to be accurate, but you just have to put it in the vicinity and your teammate will do the rest in terms of catching the ball. So that, and then I think the kneeling shot is pretty tough.
Yeah, that one's
because you can't generate as much power using the stability of your legs because you're already like on your knees. So I think those two are the most difficult.
You're listening to Hops Pierce, a member of the Harlem Globetrotters. They're going to be here next Friday night. And if you miss that on January 17th, they're going to be just down the road in Dalton on Thursday, the 23rd. It seems like this is just an absolute, this has got to be a fun marriage for you. You're young, you're just out of college. Talk about what life as a Globetrotter's like. What all cities have you hit since graduating?
Such a fun, interesting life, for sure. So being that I'm still such a young Globetrotter, right. Last year alone I was in Moscow, Norway, Latvia, Canada four times, and 35 different states. My teammates, some of the older guys, the veterans, they've clocked in at over 80 different countries,
wow.
All 50 states checked off.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny about that kind of traveling, it's for sure hectic, but what's funny about it is that no matter where we go, we get the same reaction, whether it's in China, Europe, Australia, it does not matter. People react to us the same way when they see us.
What have the veterans given you, the best advice they've given you on what has, I mean, you walk out the door as a college graduate and then you are living the most nomadic lifestyle you possibly could.
Yeah.
What's some of the best advice that the veterans who have been doing this for a long time have given you?
Best advice would have to be to enjoy this moment. It is not guaranteed. understand the fact that we have the ability to make people's days and to not take that lightly and to remember what it felt like to be on the other side, because we've all had players that we've looked up to or idolized or been starstruck about, and to make sure that we treat that with the utmost care, especially when we're dealing with a young fan, because you don't, they'll remember this forever, so you don't want to make them feel any kind of negative way.
Jay, and Hops, you may know it too, hasn't there been only one occasion where the Generals have taken down the Globetrotters?
That sounds right, but I know it wasn't, and they like apologized profusely when it happened. I mean, if you're a fan and you show up and everybody wants to see the bucket, the water, and the confetti trick, and the great shots and the dribbling, if you leave and you're going, did the Globetrotters just lose? I mean,
how competitive are you in these games where, you know, midway through the second quarter, it may be 40-38. It's like, all right, we need to put our foot down a little bit and get this thing.
Yeah, every game is certainly super competitive. We always try to be mindful of how much we're either down by or up, because sometimes that can dictate the order of some of the plays that we want to run, because we want to be sure, because the Generals are really coming. So we really want to be sure that that we stay on our P's and Q's.
I mean, the resiliency of the Generals. I mean, you lose that many in a row if you keep showing up. That's a lot of guts right there.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, and I know you said that the Globetrotters approached you because you got this social media following for your high wire antics. Did you wrestle with, am I going to try the D League? Am I going to try some of these 3-on-3 things? Maybe this $1 million tournament thing? I mean, I'm certain you wanted to before you gave up basketball as a living and used your economics degree. What all did you wrestle with before deciding Globetrotters?
That's a good question. I think when I was younger, I just know that my goal was to be a professional basketball player. I didn't care whether it was in the NBA, in the G League, in a foreign country. It didn't matter to me. So getting the opportunity to do what I love professionally with the Globetrotters, with the addition of creating like lifelong memories for people, continuing to make people smile, I just think that's such an unmatched position, and it's very unique to the Harlem Globetrotters. I mean, for sure, NBA players and just professional players everywhere, they make people smile, but I think that we have a whole different dynamic and feel when it comes to fan interaction.
All right, now in the pecking order, you're entering your second season with the Globetrotters. How high do you get up to where you get to then pick and choose to where you're going to? All right, I'll be doing Madison Square Garden this week, or I'll be doing. I mean, when you start moving up the ladder, because how many Globetrotters are there total?
There's 30 of us.
Okay.
Yeah. So the front office does a great job of keeping track of who's from where and making sure that each player either does media or plays in the city that they're from.
Okay.
Or close to the city that they're from, so that the people that they grew up playing around has a chance to go see them. So the players don't even really have to worry about going to the front office or making sure that we're going to be here playing or there playing, because our front office does a great job of that.
Well, and I will say, one, kudos. Love your attitude about embracing the chance to make memories for folks, because I can remember – David and I are a lot older than you, but we were of the age where the Globetrotters came on about once every 6 weeks on ABC Wild World of Sports, long before you had like 17 sports channels that you could watch for 24 hours a day. And I can remember getting in an argument with my dad – saying the Globetrotters would beat the Lakers, because the Globetrotters, I mean, they show all these highlights and it wasn't in the whole game.
Right.
I'm going,
right.
I mean, there's nobody can steal the ball from Curly Neal. They're going to beat the Lakers. So, I mean, kudos to you, man. This sounds like a lot of fun.
Thank you.
You've got a great attitude for it.
Thank you. All right. Go ahead. Give you quick history. It's funny that you said we can beat the Lakers, because do you know that in 1948, the Lakers used to be called the Minneapolis Lakers?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And we played them, and we beat them by 1 point. 1948. And so everyone thought it was a fluke, and so we played them the following year, and we beat them again.
Well, for God's sakes, man. Back in my day, you guys were the only folks who were going to get Gilligan off the island, for God's sakes. I mean, you guys have got a history, with whether it's Scooby-Doo, sure. whether it's Gilligan. I mean, you guys.
Yeah, yes. Sure.
All right, last question before we let you go. You've been great. The name Hops. Yeah. I mean, you've got Bull, Hammer, Wham, Handles. Everybody will remember Metalark. That's one of the all-timers. But how did you get that nickname? Was it did you come up with it? Was it given to you? Did you have you had it for a while?
So I want to say it was a collaborative effort between the front office and me. My contribution to why I got that name is because I've been able to show that I have the ability to jump. And so it was kind of easy for the front office to say, okay, we should call him Hops.
Totally makes sense. Well, listen, Hops Pierce, the Harlem Globetrotters, again, next Friday night at McKenzie Arena. If you miss that show, the following Thursday, that's the 23rd, they'll be down in Dalton. I've seen the Globetrotters multiple times. Lots of fun. I've taken all three of my children, and they absolutely love it. And Hops, thank you so much for sharing your story and some time here.
Sure.
All right, Hops Pierce again with the Harlem Globetrotters joining us. 648-1051 is the number. When we come back, we'll introduce the Papa John's poll question. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.